It's 2 o'clock, so let's make a start. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us for this Irish UK webinar, where we'll be providing an introduction to the Irish UK service. We've got three presenters: Ross McIntyre from Mimus at JISC, Paul Needham from Cranfield University, and Joe Alcock from Evidence Base. Ross will be setting the service in context and providing background and introductory information. Paul will be talking more about the technical side and doing a demonstration of the portal. Joe will be talking more about the community engagement side. We're going to be having a question and answer session at the end. Please feel free to type your questions in the chat box as we go along, and we'll answer them at the end. The webinar is being recorded and will be made available on the Irish UK website afterwards, and we'll also be notifying the various mailing lists that the recording is available. Now, I think we've got a mix of attendees today. Some of you are Irish UK participants, and some of you have come along because you're interested in finding out more, some from the UK, some from overseas. And you will see above the list of names on the left-hand side and just underneath your name, there is a tick and cross box. Can I ask you to use that to indicate whether you are already an Irish UK participant? Thank you. Right, so we're showing seven participants and nine non-participants, 10 non-participants at the moment. So it looks as though it's about almost 50-50. And I'll make a start by handing over to Ross. Ross, can I ask you to turn your microphone on, please?
I'm just going to open proceedings here with just a quick overview, if you like. This is analogous to me sort of introducing the actors involved in this production. I'm aware that there are a number of non-UK attendees, so I'll start, if you like, with the most important name that's on this first screen here, which is down the bottom, which is JISC, who are effectively the producers of the service. JISC is an educational charity here in the UK that provides a wide range of services and facilities in support of education and research. I'll just leave it there. The service you're going to hear about today sits alongside a number of others in the support of open access, and in particular the role that repositories play in that sphere. So this the thing on the right hand side, which perhaps looks a little bit like an eyeball, is attempting to map a number of the services onto particular areas in that repository support area. Some of you may be familiar with the names of Sherpa and Open Door and Reox, for example, but I won't explain those. There are many other initiatives and projects also underway. That isn't a comprehensive list. But as far as IRIS is concerned, the team here, which I'll just describe, brought together a developer you'll be hearing from based at Cranfield, a host, which is Mimus, now part of JISC in their Digital Resources Directorate, and then the user engagement activity, which was undertaken by Evidence Base at Birmingham City University. Just to give some background to it, this really drew on the experiences of the PIRUS 2 project, where we were attempting to account for the usage of journal articles. So that was at the article level, irrespective of their location, whether that be, for example, on the publisher site or in institutional repositories or indeed elsewhere. And it was taking forward some work that was done in the US, for example, as part of the Measure project at Los Alamos, which might mean something to you, but if not, then by all means look it up. Measure as M-E-S-U-R. And then that work was taken forward in Europe under the series of workshops run by the Knowledge Exchange. What we did was prove that, yes, it was technically feasible, and we wanted to take the work forward. This was easiest done in the context of the institutional repositories, where there was a clear requirement, and it didn't require the sorting out of the complications of business drivers, for example, which beset the publishing side. So we had a clear scope to go forward with. It's also worth saying that the work gave, well, led on to, it didn't give birth to, but gave on to the definition of the counter code of practice for articles, which has now been released. So RSUK itself, the service, the aim was to construct a national aggregation service using an appropriate global standard, which was COUNTER, to collect and process download data from UK institution repositories. That was for all item types within those repositories, so not just articles. What do I mean by that? Well, you could imagine that people are interested in particular figures for downloads for theses and dissertations, for exam papers, technical reports, multimedia things like videos, and also increasingly data sets, for example. And you'll see how those are recorded during the demo later. And then on the why would we want to do it, on the left-hand side there, really, we're aiming to produce comparable statistics that would provide an evidence base for decision-making and allow for benchmarking at an appropriate level. We're up to, as you can see from the graph, there was a spurt once we were told to bring it into production from from January 2013 onwards. We're now about to hit 80 repositories. There are a couple in test at the moment. We hit 78 just recently, which is well over half of the UK institutional repositories who are able to join. So that's the penetration, if you like. I'll now hand over to my colleague Paul Needham at Cranfield University, who was involved in the development and all the pre-work that I've just described, for some more detail and a demo. So,
hi everyone. Hopefully you can hear me at a reasonable level. Any problems, just indicate in the chat box. Right, I'll start by telling you something about the methods we use to gather data when a download occurs at a repository. We've opted for a really simple system where when a download occurs in a repository that's participating, a small message is sent to our server that just gives us some basic details, enough details for us to then find out more about that item a bit later. It's accomplished by using small bits of code, and we call it the tracker protocol. If you're interested in the detail of that, follow the bit.ly link. All it does is push a very small amount of metadata to us as an open URL string, giving us some things we need, like the IP of the client that downloaded the item, the user agent, the date and time of the event, the repository that it came from, and so on. We have patches available for DSpace from version 1.8 onwards up to 4, and we have commissioned or are commissioning a patch for DSpace 5.1 at the moment. We also have plugins for ePrints. Those are the main two repository softwares that we're currently working with, but we also have implementation guidelines available for applying the tracker protocol to Fedora repositories, and we do have two Fedora repositories participating as well. To demonstrate that this is applicable quite easily in various softwares, we although it's not in RSUK scope, we have also successfully deployed the tracker in the OAPEN library hosted in the Netherlands, which offers freely accessible academic books and runs on the Arno software. And the protocol code has also been applied to CORE, which I guess many of you would be familiar with, which aggregates millions of scholarly articles from open access repositories around the world. Once we receive raw download data in our logs, we then process that into COUNTER statistics. So we follow the rules in Release 4 of the County Code of Practice for resources, and also the new Release 1 of County Code of Practice for articles. Key point there is that, in particular, we filter out as many robot accesses as possible, and also double clicks where someone's been impatient and gone click, click, because they got fed up of waiting half a second for something to start downloading. County do provide a robot exclusion list based on user agents. However, it is specified only as a minimum, and we've supplemented that, identifying additional user agents that should be removed, and currently applying a simple threshold for IP addresses that are so active it's obviously not human activity. This area, however, is a big problem, not only for repositories, but increasingly for publishers as they move into the open access sphere. So we've looked at this in more detail. We commissioned a piece of work by Consultants Information Power to look at some of the raw data that we've been collecting and to test the feasibility of coming up with some algorithms to dynamically identify and filter out unusual usage or robot activity. That report is available from the IRIS news page. However, this, as I say, this is a bigger problem than just IRIS. It's something that's important globally to anyone who offers resources that can be freely downloaded. And Counter acknowledge that their current processing rules on robots, while they worked really well based on a subscription model, in an open access world, there is a lot more work that needs doing. So I'm now chairing the Counter Working Group on Robots, where we're hoping to come up with a set of simple rules to filter out an extremely complex set of unusual or bad data. It's really quite an intractable problem, and we'll never come up with a perfect solution, but hopefully at the end of the work of that group, we will be able to successfully filter out a large number of robots reliably, and all of us using the same sort of methods. Of course, once we've had our raw data and converted it into counter stats, we then need to expose it. Three main ways of doing that: through our web portal. The main portal is behind Shibboleth Authentication Authorization. One day we hope to make it fully open access, but in this phase where we're growing and learning, we thought it would be better just to put it behind some kind of barrier until we've got our act totally sorted out. Within that portal, there are a wide range of views and reports and so on, and I'll show you some of that in a moment. Of course, it's not just people looking in a portal that are interested. We have participants who want to be able to grab the counter stats we have programmatically, machine-to-machine basis, and there are two ways of doing this potentially. One, using Sushi, which is the SOAP-based protocol for transmitting counter usage statistics, and also a new initiative, Sushi Lite, which is a sort of, I guess you'd call it sushi for the 21st century. SOAP services tend to be quite heavy, and there's quite an overhead in getting them set up. So we're developing a RESTful API that uses simple HTTP GET and returns JSON or optionally XML data. The typical usage of this would be to allow snippets of statistics pertaining, for example, to an individual item to be transmitted back and embedded into repository or other web pages. Okay, taking my life into my hands now, I shall attempt to go to the IRIS website and give you a live demo. I hope you can all see that clearly. Okay, we'll start with a home page, which just gives you a top level glance at where we are. As in fact, we have 79 repositories now. There was one joined just after the end of last month, and there have been nearly 350,000 items downloaded by users accessing our participating repositories. And currently we've recorded a total of nearly 31.5 million downloads since we started. Bearing in mind that that's a changing number of repositories over a 2.5 year period. I'm not going to attempt to show you the whole of what we offer because, as I found in practice the other day, I simply don't have time. We're growing and there's so much in here. So I'll just give you a flavor, a few views into what we can offer. Starting with some statistic views. This page just provides a quick look at summary by repository. So it says who the repository is, when they joined, the number of items that we've seen downloaded, and the number of downloads from each of those repositories. For those that are interested in such things, and this is not generally our participants, but I suspect that our sponsors and others are interested to see the relative coverage we have in each of the countries in the UK. As you see, England, by definition, being the largest, currently outstrips Scotland and Wales, and we're still waiting to get our first Northern Irish repository on board at some point. We can also break down how each of the repository softwares is performing. This page shows you the effects of the counter and Iris UK filtering on the raw download data we get to the final figures that we actually present in the portal. The most exciting section is probably the statistics reports for many people, so I will focus on this mostly now. When we first started, we only offered a couple of reports, Item Report 1, Item Report 2. Item Report 1 is just a report which will show you the downloads against each and every item in a repository over a specified time. I'm not going to go into that because I'd rather show you some of the newer things we've been doing. In particular, I'd like to start with the Journal Report 1. When we started, we really didn't have, I guess, enough metadata to be able to present a report that would show you downloads by journal, but over the 2.5 years, we have accumulated quite a lot of metadata of increasing quality, and so we are in a position to produce a traditional counter JR1 report, and this is quite flexible. You can, if you're interested in a particular journal, you can just call up that particular journal and if we look at how PLOS has been doing over the last 3 months, you'll see that there have been downloads of over 12,000 articles from PLOS One journal in the last 3 months. And what we can do, in fact, from the journal report is click through on the hyperlink total here, and that will take us through to an article level report so that you can see the individual articles that make up the figures in the JR1. It's also possible from there to click through to an individual article and look at its stats in more detail, but I'll come back to individual item stats in a moment. Other reports we've added recently are Book Report 1 for whole book downloads, Book Report 2 for book section downloads, and we have an ETD report, which is specifically for theses. And I think I'll just dip quickly into the repository of Report 1. This enables you to slice and dice the repository stats in quite a number of ways. In theory, you could run this without any filters at all and see absolutely everything, except that the resulting report is so large that it blows my machine up, so we won't do that. But you can, for instance, again, because people are interested in articles many times, you can see the breakdown, monthly breakdown of article downloads across each repository. As I say, the report is quite flexible, and if you wanted just to see how repositories and institutions in, say, GISC band 5B were doing. You could limit it to that, and you can slice and dice in a number of ways to come up with figures and metrics that you find interesting. In addition to usage reports, there are a number of other things that we can do. One problem with gathering stuff from a large number of repositories is that each individual repository will define an item type in different ways. And in fact, I'm not going to scroll through this page, especially with the time lag that you get watching this in a webinar. The point is, we map all the various repository item types into a more manageable set that is browsable of 25 main item types, art and design item, article, book section, and so on. It's quite a useful way to give us a usable set of browsing or searching features. One area that's very important in metadata, of course, for interoperability is the DOI. If you want to know how versions of an article are doing wherever they're hosted, the key identifier to match them up is the DOI, and this provides a summary of the percentage of DOIs that we found against each item type. And delving in a bit more closely for articles, you can see that the number of DOIs catalogued at repositories can range, vary a lot, but in some cases we've got up to 90% of articles catalogued in a repository have a DOI, meaning potentially that we could match those articles up if they were hosted on core or if they were hosted on publisher websites or other places. So you could end up with a true picture one day of all the usage of all the versions of a particular article wherever it might be hosted. One other thing we can do with metadata is we can provide reports back to repositories where we find duplicate DOIs. Actually, this happens quite a lot. I've picked on Cranfield, which is my university, because that seems fair. We have quite an extensive list where, for a number of reasons, we have ended up putting the same article or item, whether it's an article, conference paper, or whatever, in twice, or in some cases three times. Often where we find a duplicate DOI, it is, in fact, just two separate items are the same item, but sometimes it does reveal that the wrong DOI has been provided against a given item. And this report is downloadable and can go back to repositories to help them tidy up their cataloging on their repositories. I mentioned we can look at individual items in some more detail, and I'm going to pick one that I know is going to show me what I'd like to demonstrate. And in this particular case, I'm looking for an article about aspirin at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, which happily we do find. And clicking through the download figure there, it takes us to a page which gives us stats for that individual item. I picked this one because it demonstrates really nicely the embedding of an altmetric widget showing sort of some of the altmetric activity on this particular article. I will risk a quick scroll down and remember to pause. At the moment, this page is a bit of a catch-all. It gives some monthly figures and shows it graphically, and then gives some daily figures and shows it graphically. The individual item stats is, in fact, an area I'm going to be working on next to improve the way we can present these figures for an individual item. So I'll probably be breaking this into three tabs: monthly stats for the item at the IR, daily stats, which we do keep in the database for that item in the IR, but also then a consolidated stats page. So if, for example, this has been downloaded not only from the repository but also from the core service, then we would be able to show the figures added together for the two services. I think, given the time constraints, this is probably all I want to say now. So I shall now attempt to stop sharing and take you back to the slides. And that's me done.
Thanks, Paul. Okay, I'll hand over now. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So my name is Jo Alcock. As Ross mentioned, I'm part of Evidence-Base and we're involved in the community engagement and evaluation activities for IRIS. So I'm going to give you a brief overview of some of those activities. So, as Ross mentioned, we've got a growing number of repositories in IRIS UK. At the moment, we've got 79 with data in there and a few more in the pipeline, and we're keen for that to grow further. We keep people communicated in a number of different ways. We have an IRIS UK mailing list. We have an IRIS News Twitter account. We have a newsletter which we produce on a roughly quarterly basis with all the sort of updates to the service. And we also have webinars such as the one you're attending today. We've also give presentations at other events. We were at DigiFest recently, and we've got some other ones upcoming this summer. We also gather feedback from the participating repositories via a number of different surveys and conversations and discussions that we have. And I'll talk a little bit more about one survey that we've got running at the moment. And we also have a community advisory group which provides feedback to us and helps inform future developments. So on the survey side of things, all our new repositories receive an invite to a new joiners survey within a few weeks of joining, and that helps us to get any initial feedback, see if there's any support that they need, which quite often then feeds back into our support materials, and then also to gather any suggestions for improvement, which we review on a regular basis. We then also run an annual survey, and that collects information on how people are using repository statistics, the value people see in using IRIS UK, any challenges and barriers to collecting repository statistics or specifically related to IRIS UK, and also their views on benchmarking and how they would like to do benchmarking in future, any feedback on usability, and also whether there's any guidance and support. And the service is very much run by contributed to by the user feedback, so it's something that's very important throughout the whole process. We've got a survey open at the moment. It's open until the end of March, and at the moment we've got 40 responses. So the stats that I'm going to show in the next couple of slides are not finalised yet, but they're the sort of in-progress results that we're getting from that survey. So when we talk about the added value that IRIS UK brings, in the current survey, 92% of respondents have reported that IRIS UK has improved their statistical reporting. And there's some examples of how. 63% have reported that it saved time collecting statistics, so they were perhaps already doing that, but IRIS UK has saved them time. And 83% has reported that IRIS UK has enabled them to do reporting that previously they were unable to. So perhaps it's enhanced, or for some they may not have been able to get that data before, and IRIS UK has enabled them to now report on that data. And when we asked about benchmarking, this is something that is very popular within our current user community. 84% of the respondents to the survey hope to use IRIS UK for benchmarking. They may already be doing so, or they intend to do so in future. We ask about what people think is the best feature of IRIS UK, and we found very similar results last year, and this year's results are echoing that in the three main areas. The first of which is around reliable authoritative stats. And we've also mentioned that they are counter-compliance statistics, and a lot of filtering is done to ensure that we can get that data as accurate as possible, and that's one of the things that's often highlighted as the best feature about IRIS. The other thing that's mentioned frequently is around benchmarking and the fact that you can compare download statistics across participating institutional repositories, some of which Paul showed you in the demo. And also the fact that there are now a large number and quite a range of different types of institutions participating within IRIS UK. The final thing that people mention as the best feature about IRIS is how easy to use it is. So we get some comments about people saying how easy it is to set up, how easy it is to access the statistics, the fact that the statistics are quite clear on the displays. We asked specific questions about that and about the display of the data, and 83% of the current survey respondents said that they found the current user interface clear, and 88% found the functionality clear to understand, so all of the different reports and all the guidance materials. We ask people what the most useful reports are, and this is an ordered ranking of the most useful reports. So if you are a user and you perhaps haven't used some of these are the ones that at the moment our user community are saying are the most important, most useful reports for them. The first one is the item report 1, then we have the item report 2, the overall repository statistics, the consolidated article report 1, which has actually now been superseded. The CAR1 and the AR1J have been superseded by the AR4 report, but at the time we did this survey it was the CAR1. The next most useful one is the ETD, the thesis and dissertations report, and then the final one was the repository report 1. These are just the top 6. They all scored an average of 3.5 or more out of 4 in terms of how useful people found them. So that's just to give you a flavour of that. We've also got some sort of general feedback and comments. The IRIS has provided a range of useful reports not available to us before and also has the potential to benchmark our statistics against other repositories. So just enhancing those, emphasising those best features of IRIS there. And also the IRIS UK statistics have been used to inform internal reporting and decision making. We produced a series of use cases trying to understand a little bit about how the data is used, and they're available on our website. And that gives some information about internal reporting, how the data can be used to support advocacy, how it can be used for benchmarking, all those different ways that the data can be used. So if you are a UK repository and you are interested in joining IRIS UK, it's a fairly simple process. It does depend on your setup. So what we recommend is if you contact us at iris@mimus.ac.uk to register your interest, and we'll then get back to you with a few questions to understand more about the type of repository that you have, the version that you're running, where it's hosted, those kind of things. And then we'll be able to give you some advice on how we can get you up and running and get your data in IRIS. We've got some quotes there that the setup was very quick and painless, which is always a delight, and also some feedback there about the fact that the consistent collection of statistics is helpful, because once it's set up it really is a case of just logging in to have a look at your stats, and it just IRIS collects those on a daily basis for you. And just a final slide on some of the additional user support. So if you're interested in finding out more information you can contact us at any time. But of course there's also some information online for you to look at. The help section on the IRIS UK website includes a series of frequently asked questions. It includes a glossary of some of the terminology that may be used within the reports that perhaps you're unfamiliar with. It contains IRIS UK statistics and reports, which gives an overview of all the reports. That is going to be updated soon because we have had a few very recent changes, as I mentioned, about some of the naming of the reports and joining of those. There's also a toolbox section which has got a little bit more information about the technical details on how to get set up. There's those use cases that I mentioned, there's a series of 5 use cases which explain some of the ways that you can use the IRIS UK data and also have some quotes from some of our participating repositories and how they're using the data. And then we also have the recordings from previous webinars, and we'll be sharing this webinar recording there as well. In order to share a little bit more about how people are using IRIS UK, we've organised a webinar which is going to be on the 7th of May. And on IRIS UK in practice, we've got a series of participating repositories who are going to be sharing some of the ways that they've used IRIS in that webinar. And if you go to that Bitly link, the booking is open now, so you're able to register for that if you wish. So that's the end of the webinar. I'd like to thank you all very much. So I think the first question came in from Nick and was around CORE. So Nick says, interested in the potential to aggregate downloads from the institutional repository with equivalent article from CORE. Paul, are you happy to discuss that?
Yes, indeed. I've been collecting CORE raw download data for, I think, getting on for a year now. And it's only recently I've been able to acquire the method I need to start picking up metadata. I think it might be useful, although the IRIS CORE portal at the moment is primitive, shall we say. Hopefully you can all see that. I've gone into, it's only a stub portal at the moment, but this is part of the way through the Iris Core item report one. All I've done is selected data for February 2015, and as you can see, total downloads in Feb for Core were nearly 400,000, and it was a lot of items. There are 829 pages worth. If I try and run this report as this stands for more than 1 month at a time, I think it crashes my browser, so I'm not going to try that. Let me just take you back to the home page for a moment. So we know about nearly 300,000 items in Core, and somewhere in the region of just over 2.5 million downloads in February alone. I did start collecting data quite a while ago, but there was a break. So this is in fact from slightly more recently. I have had a look at what we've got in Iris UK and in Iris Core, and so far I have found an overlap, if you imagine a Venn diagram of items in Iris UK and items in Iris Core, an overlap of somewhere in the region of 40,000 items. So one of my next tasks will be to actually hook up the two databases. I've done some preparatory work behind the scenes on that already, and I've matched up those identifiers in the core data in our Iris Core database and our Iris UK database. I just need to do the work to present the consolidated stats between Iris UK and Core in a page somewhere in Iris UK. Does that provide some sort of answer?
I think so. Nick, if there's anything further you'd like to ask about that, please do feel free to type in. Oh, there we go.
Oh, yes. Yeah, thanks, Nick.
Okay, great. Okay, the second question came in from Sarah Barker, who asks, if the stats are generated by individual downloads, is it possible to combine stats on the Iris UK end for single items that are comprised of a number of files?
So for example, right.
Theses made up of a number of chapters all available via the thesis page.
Yeah. At the moment, the granularity that we're working at is at the item level. So what you are seeing when you see the downloads for an item, if it's a multi-file item, that is the combined downloads for all of the files in that item. We are collecting a few months ago file name information as well. So in a future incarnation of Iris, it should be possible for us to show the breakdown of the individual files within an item. So turning that around, yes, we will be able to show the consolidated usage of multiple files within an item.
Lovely, thank you. There was another question from Lynn G, who asked, by download, do you mean when the PDF is actually saved to a desktop or simply when the PDF is clicked?
Yeah, it's actually that there was a click within, you know, to download. It's a request for a full text item, or it's a request for a video. What subsequently happened to it, whether someone downloaded it to their desktop or it opened up in their browser, we don't know. But it the intent was there. There was a link to an article, say, and it was clicked.
Brilliant, thank you. And the final question at the moment, please do feel free, anyone else, to type any questions into the chat box. But the last question is, are institutional repositories benchmarking themselves against the entire pool of participants, or do they pick and choose a select list to have a smaller group of peer institutions to compare their progress against?
If we, for instance, go back to the repository report one, if you want to look at all repositories who are participating, just don't apply any filter, and then that gives you your you can see your relative performance against all other participants. If you are interested only in repositories in the same GISC band as you, again, you know, you can limit it, so you see there's a much shorter list here. In band 3, we currently have 3 participants. The figures are skewed, obviously, because Warwick has been with us a lot longer than the other two in this. So you can compare against all participants, or you can compare against those in the same GISC band, or if you're interested, how am I doing? I'm in Scotland. How are we doing against other Scottish repositories? You can also do that. The ability to slice and dice and to define a group that you want to benchmark against will become more sophisticated over time. One of the things in our development wish list is, I think we call it my repository. So you would eventually, once I've developed the functionality, you'd be able to go into the my repository section and say, right, I want to compare my own repository against repository A, B, C, and you'd be able to pick and choose your own. But I'm sure we'll also come up with other ways of slicing and dicing so that you can compare in any way that you'd like to.
Thanks very much, Paul. I think the other point to note there as well is, of course, if you wanted to, you can export as a CSV and do any additional analysis or narrowing down to certain repositories that way as well.
Yes, all the reports can be exported as CSV or TSV, tab-separated files. So you can indeed download them and then manipulate spreadsheets to your heart's content.
Lovely, thanks, Paul. Does anybody have any further questions? I can see that Nick's typing, so I'll just wait a second in case he has a question.
Well, as Nick says, he's interested in any work we may be doing with eprints/IRstats. The data are different, and thank you, Nick, for presuming we're more accurate. I think we are. Yes, we're in contact with eprints. Just point out that IRstats itself is now deprecated. It's IRstats 2 is the supported package. There are differences in the figures that IRstats comes up with compared to the IRstats. And depending on repository, they can be relatively similar or they can differ quite a lot. And we've looked at this, and it does seem to be down to the fact that we do more aggressive filtering of potential robot accesses than IRstats 2 currently does. However, we have a stated aim to work together, and once the counter-robots working group hopefully comes up with some algorithms that are universally usable, you should see IRstats 2 and IRIS-UK stats converging. I wouldn't guarantee that they'll ever be exactly the same because, you know, different programs, even though they may appear to be doing the same, may do something subtly different, but I think, you know, within a couple or 3%, eventually you will see our stats become very similar.
Thanks, Paul. Okay, I don't think anyone else is typing at the moment, so I think that must be all the questions that we have. I'll just briefly hand you over to Anne, who will explain about the recordings.
Right. Thank you very much to all our presenters for a very interesting presentation. Thank you to everybody for participating and for asking all your questions. If you think of any questions that you haven't had chance to ask, please do email the IRIS help desk, which is iris@mimus.ac.uk. As we said, we've been recording the webinar and we'll make the recording available afterwards. We'll also be sending out a very brief questionnaire to everybody who's participated in the webinar this afternoon, as it's very useful to us to have your feedback, which will help us in planning future webinars. And as Joe has said, our next webinar will be on the 7th of May, and that will be looking at more detail at how different institutions are using IRIS UK. So please take the opportunity to sign up for that if you'd like to know more. We'll be publicising that a bit more fairly shortly, but bookings are open. So thank you very much, everybody, and goodbye.